Albert Velez is going to get there. There's no question. He squares it. There it is. It's another. And it's Mubo Rodriguez again, scoring goals left and right. Velez with the assist.
By the way, Finister, nice to meet you vocally.
You too, man. You too, man. Okay, so the person that posted it, let me just read the profile. They, she, feminist, herbivore, anarchist, lesbian.
Oh, my God.
And then, hold on, I went to her Patreon, too. Patreon's dope. And I'm recording right now. She's a non-binary trans girl, which isn't that isn't that like a conundrum right there anyway? You can't be non-binary and a girl, right?
That's a double negative.
Yeah, you can't do that. She lives in the U.S., work full-time. She's on Patreon because she's very poor. She can't afford the laser hair removal for GRS. I guess it's gender reassignment surgery. Oh, man. And she works $9 an hour part-time job. I told her to come on. I said, come on, talk. $9 an hour. That's a fucking crime.
Yeah.
It's a crime, dude. I think, well, I think minimum wage should be $10.50. At least 10. At least go up with inflation.
Yeah, I mean, most places start at 10. So yeah,
I got 10 an hour. I bumped up to 15 a little while ago.
This poor girl lives in Ohio. That's a terrible place to be transgender.
Real,
so. Oh, it's fucking fuck. Anyway, man, she's all good. They. And one of the guys from MLS Aces was like, you made an LGBTQ joke to a transgender person and pronoun baited them. I don't even know what pronoun baiting is, and I'm pretty sure I did not do that. People are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I was going to reply like, hey, I would run on Discord right now, but I'm singing Andre Bocelli next to my gay son and non-binary daughter, but I thought that might have been too far.
Possibly.
I just told her. I was like, you know, a joke's a joke. Doesn't actually mean the person... Fuck. That's what kills me. They assume because you say something funny that they what you think is funny, that you don't like an entire species. I don't even know what to fucking say anymore.
Do you have a stand up background at all?
No.
Okay.
No, I do not. I've
the
been
way
told
you deliver sentences. Is...
Yeah. I've been told I should try that, but man, I don't want to play to bars full of like four drunk people.
Yeah.
That aren't paying attention to me. This is easier. I don't got to fucking really entertain anybody but myself.
Guys. And
you got it? Well,
I'm watching that, but it's nothing but a screen. I don't know if that's... Okay, there it goes.
I just shared screen. I don't do video.
What did I do? What's going on?
Watch stream, like...
It should just be the screen with...
I got it.
Just the post-game notes. Stuff we're just to chat about.
Yeah, for us, it's going to, on your name, on your little icon, it'll say watch stream, or we're watching you stream here.
Yeah, but you can't see anything. You just see the screen. You just see the Word document. That's all you see, right?
Not right now. Now it's just white. Now it's Word document.
So if I do this, is it gone?
Yeah, white. Yep.
So I got to stay on one screen.
I just see two squares dancing.
I don't know what that means.
Alrighty, here we go. First thing, I don't know if you guys saw this on the introduction last night to the game, but San Jose's PayPal Park sits at an intersection with a street called Wando Way, which I'm guessing is named after Wondolowski. Did y'all know that?
Didn't know, but Colby and I saw it.
Yeah, we saw it at the beginning of the game last night. They had like a little shot of it.
Yeah. I was like, huh. Then it got me thinking. If we had to name a street after one of our current or former Dynamo players, which one would I name it after? And me being me, I came up with something smart-ass like Kyoto Pass, because he doesn't.
Oh, no.
Or he did not. But going back, because I only started following the club in 2017.
See, so, I was going to say something like Will Bruin or Brad Davis or somebody.
Yeah, like Brian Ching. Like
Ching,
Will Bruin
or,
Ray.
Oh, who's the guy, Colby, that we saw?
I'm too new of a Dynamo fan to talk about old players.
You can pick a new player.
Yeah, any player. Current, former. I just thought Kyoto Pass was pretty funny.
I do have a love for Fafa, though.
So what would we call
Fafa
that one?
Would be cool.
Yeah, Fafa Circle?
My current favorite players are probably Fafa or Derek.
Yeah, mine are Derek and Marco. I like Marich. I don't like his new haircut. It's better than that one he had a couple weeks ago. So you're saying Derek or Fafa? All right. Second question. I could not take
or Beasley. I did like Beasley. Oh, back you're right. In the day.
Yeah.
Beasley is a legend.
I actually got his bobblehead in my last mystery box.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So second thing was, if you had a son, which I have two of them, and he showed up to Thanksgiving dinner wearing what the San Jose coach wore during the match last night. Which did y'all see this guy? I thought Dos Santos was bad. I thought what Mark Dos Santos was wearing was colorful. This guy, I was like, the game is starting and he is adjusting his gold chain. Like he's not even done accessorizing. So if you had a son and he showed up to your... Go ahead.
What did I say, Caleb?
You said he looked like he just got off a yacht.
Yeah, just got off a yacht reading the best book.
The best book with his wife would be in a bikini drinking champagne.
Again, Jimmy Buffett on the radio.
He had to take off his captain's hat. You know, the one with the little gold anchor in the black background. He had to take that sucker off because he was driving, but the real captain was underneath, so everybody thinks he's driving.
He was dusting his monocle off.
That's right. Just put his cigar out. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, I thought Tab... So Tab starts the season in sweatsuits. Remember that? Track suits. And,
yeah. I love the suits.
Like I do. Suits. Yeah, he looks proper. He looks good.
Where does he get his dynamo ties? We need those dynamo ties.
We do need those dynamo ties.
I will be wearing one to the Real Salt Lake match. It's too good of a chance not to. I'm going to start putting that out there.
Unfortunately, we're not going to get tickets to that one. We'll be in...
Well, the next game is Austin, yeah.
Yeah, in Austin.
Ooh. Did you get the $57 ones from the Surge?
Yeah, the Surge guys, yeah.
Right on. Awesome. Are they taking a bus up and then back?
Ooh, I don't know. Well, we're closer to Austin. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, we're only an hour from Austin.
You'd have to drive here to get on their bus.
Yep.
So if you were, say you're in your 50s, 40s, right? And it's Thanksgiving and you open your front door and your son walks in dressed like that, white shirt, the blue sweater tied in a knot, putting his chain on, fixing one of his seven rings. What do you do?
I don't know.
Ask him where he parked the boat.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like.
I mean, for me, it's car. there's too many other factors to consider before you come up with an answer. Like, did he come alone? Did he bring a date? Who is his date? What does he do for a living? I would just
clown him just regardless. Yeah, regardless of what he was wearing, I probably will clown my children.
I mean, I get you. Oh yeah, for sure. And they are so sensitive. I have kids. I have four, and kids are so sensitive. It's ridiculous.
You gotta harden them up.
Yeah, but then you get told you're mean, and now they can call CPS.
Right.
We didn't have CPS when I was growing up. We just went to your room for longer.
Exactly.
And you ran away. All right, so four of our five Gold Cup players are coming back once their squads lose because Honduras is out. Who's the other one? Costa Rica is going to lose. El Salvador. Costa Rica is going to lose, correct? Or they've already lost?
Yeah, they just lost.
We
just lost.
Yeah, I think it's still going, but it's 2-0.
And then USA is back.
So the one player we all give a shit about the most isn't going to come back.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, we have more depth, but I want passion.
Yeah, it's final, 2-0.
Yeah, because I asked, who do you miss most out of our five missing players? And I already know the answer.
Right? Oh, yeah, it's Pasher.
It's Pasher. Far. Nobody else has really contributed, right?
Well, so if we can see Seren come in at the level that he was playing for El Salvador, that'd be kind of cool.
You know, he's been solid this year when he comes in his limited time.
I think he did exceptionally well for his country.
And he started every game, and isn't he the captain?
I think he is. Not positive, but I think so.
Yeah, I think he is. I know, God, who was the other one? I don't remember. But yeah, it was a shame to see Honduras lose as bad as they lost. They lost 3-0.
Yeah.
Because they've played well, and I saw them in Denver almost tie the U.S. and bring it to penalties.
Good but Mexico they, team, though.
Yeah, Mexico team's always pretty good. So did you guys know we've went 16 straight on the road without a win?
I heard, or the last time we scored, they said it was Cincy, and that hurt. But that hurts more here, 16 games without a win.
16 straight on the road
without
a win.
That hurts us personally because we were at the Cincinnati game.
Yeah.
And so we know how long that was, long ago that was.
So you guys were in Cincinnati and saw them win in Cincinnati. Oh, you were here.
No. Yeah, here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last time we scored. I believe so. That's what he said, right on the thing, something like that. Last time we scored.
That was the last goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. It's been 16 straight. But we've averaged more points on the road this season versus last season. So do you guys think that we can actually – do you think we can make the playoffs without a win on the road if we continue to tie and lose on the road?
No, I don't think so. I think you have to win at least one or two because the other teams aren't going to let up. I don't think it's going to happen.
What if we tied every single road match in a season?
Every single one.
Because if you think about it, we've lost two on the road this year, right? Portland or three?
Yeah.
Portland,
that's
Seattle.
That's eight games. Eight games left. Eight road games left.
God, it's too many. That's eight possible points. You guys think we'll be a playoff team this season?
I think it's hopeful. I don't think
ten,
we'll make it.
Ten home games left.
Ten home and eight on the road?
Yeah.
We're not even halfway there, boys.
Yeah, that's true.
We are 15 matches in, and we have 18 left. And people are already starting to get mad. Have you seen Austin FC's fans? They're up in arms.
Oh, yeah. Loving it.
It's fucking crazy. It's their first year. What did they think?
I know.
Like, what were you thinking? Because you show up and wear green and Matthew McConaughey bangs a drum that you're going to just walk all over everybody?
I don't want to interrupt the show. Did you watch the Minnesota-Portland game?
No. No. When was it? Yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Last night? No.
Yeah. Kobe
Portland
caught it.
Portland went up one, and then Minnesota came back with two. It was amazing.
The environment in Minnesota is insane. I didn't know that they had a facility like that, and I didn't know they had fans like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Seattle typically does, too. Portland does for sure. Minnesota, Sporting KC, they get pretty into it. I thought San Jose wasn't too bad of an atmosphere, it looked like.
Do you know the Wonderwall story?
Oh my god. From one of the supporter songs that our guys play?
No.
Because we play Wonderwall. One of the songs that we play is Wonderwall.
Minnesota United, the whole stadium sings it if they win.
The entire stadium.
What's the relevance of Oasis to Minnesota? Yeah,
exactly.
That's what we were saying.
Aren't they from Liverpool?
I looked it up. Apparently, they had a British coach that started it, an English coach, and it just stuck. And so now they sing Wonderwall every time they win.
I don't understand that at all. I don't know how that's relevant. Yeah, I guess the English coach, but I mean, your coaches change like the seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
This was back in 2016.
I just want a chant that I can understand at BBVA. They're all in Spanish, except for Let's Go Dynamo.
I just want a chant.
Yeah, it's true. We don't have any. We have nobody to organize it. We don't do player-specific chants.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Colby to do, some player-specific
like the chants. The chant after we score, the Dynamo.
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
Dynamo. But where is that gone? Like,
they still do it. They still do it. Yeah, yeah.
It's just so quiet. We can't hear it.
Yeah, they. I don't. I think they take out the crowd noise for the home matches because.
No, we were there whenever we scored Cincinnati. We didn't do it because I was ready for it.
No.
And we were on the side of the supporter section. Nothing.
I was there. Same. I know we chant afterwards. Or we yell. We sing. Yeah. They play the Dynamo song through the PA unless they didn't do it. I mean, I don't remember. But I go to every home game. So, I mean, if they didn't do it.
We'll have to pay a lot more attention next time.
Yeah.
Make note of it.
Like I said, if they did play it, it was too quiet for us to even notice.
Well, they dropped a Mike Jones Dynamo song when we win, which I haven't heard in quite some time.
I think I heard that once.
I remember like, that one, yeah.
Before the game started.
Yeah, that's something. that was rated and voted as the number one hype song in MLS. I don't know who rated and voted at that, but it legitimately was.
That's Mike Jones.
I mean, it's cool that our song is sung by an indicted pimp, I guess, right? Because he was arrested for human trafficking and, I guess, solicitation with women, prostitution. But he's innocent. Yep. You know, he said he was innocent, and I believe him. Plus, I mean,
he's from H-Town. That's all that they.
The fans are worried about.
I mean, if everybody that gave their phone number out in a song was a pimp, then he's guilty. So, did you see Marco's new haircut, the slicked, shaved, shiny skull?
I got scared a little bit.
He looks more and more terrifying every time we see him.
Yeah, he looks like one of the guys in Modern Warfare that sneaks up behind you and cuts your throat with a knife.
He's a cod skin.
He's an interesting, intimidating fellow. And he's still catching flack on Twitter for his goalkeeping ability. And truth be told, he had a clean sheet last night.
Right.
Except I think he did phenomenal.
Zarek Valentin. He had a pretty slow night up until the end. That offsides goal at the end, I don't know how he didn't see that. It was placed pretty well. But that was like, fucking Marco. The old Marco's back. Other than that, this season, he's been, aside from when he kicked the ball into the guy and it went in, right? That was shit. But other than that, he's stats-wise, I think he's top 10 for sure in the league in all the important categories.
Yeah.
Some people say he's terrible. They're wrong.
I personally feel a lot safer with Marco back there. I
forget who our previous goal.
Joe Willis, Tyler Derrick.
Willis. Yo, Derrick, who's on thinking. Yeah. Guy I'm
Derrick thinking. Was until he beat up his girlfriend and got arrested right before the playoffs in 2017. And then we turned to Joe, who's now in Cincinnati and leads MLS in clean sheets.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean, Cincinnati spent money. Or Nashville. He's in Nashville. Nashville spent money. I keep seeing all these teams making these transfers, you know, Argentina to here, Scotland to here, and it's like, yo, what are
Nashville's
we doing?
Nashville's a good team.
Yeah, they are. So is New England. Orlando needs to watch out because New England's pretty good. So, we all agree that Marco looks scary as fuck with his hair the way it is. I like it.
Oh, yeah, no, I like it.
I think of everybody on the team, he definitely looks the most intimidating. Derek Jones is the biggest bloke on the team, but he just looks so polite. He looks so nice. He does. I think Derek, like, I would let, I know, I'd be like, if I saw Derek at a club, I'd be like, hey, man, what's up? If I saw Marco, I'd walk the other fucking way. I wouldn't go near him. So did you guys notice when they are in our third? So when we are in our defensive third, and we continue to chase the ball and kind of press a little bit. Like when we drop off, we still like to press a little bit in our third. Did you notice the space mainly between Hadebe and Junka on the left side at times? How far inside Teenage was drifting and the amount of space we offered, the channels we offered at the back?
I didn't notice that.
Early on, a couple times, I noticed it looked like Teenage and Timmy were standing almost right next to each other. And it seems like we're losing shape. And I'm wondering if it's our midfielders for the most part, because they're chasing guys around and our press has not been as effective as it was before. Not like last night, I'm watching teams play us and I'm seeing once they play it back to the keeper, Maxi runs at the keeper and Maxi runs off. Yeah, once they reset it one time, they play out.
Yeah.
And we were pressing for the first 20 minutes. First 20 minutes of that match. Then we sat back.
I do remember having, so Sam's side had plenty more routes ran through it. Whenever Dorsey was out there, it seemed like they didn't want to press him. Like whenever the Dorsey was in the play, they switched field almost every single time.
You're talking about San Jose switching the field with Dorsey on the other side, to Fafa side? Or switching switching to Fafa side? Yeah. I thought Dorsey, do we have him on here? Yeah, we do. Yeah, I thought he wasn't bad at all. Switching to Sam's side. Problem with Sam is you need somebody to cover him. And
that's another thing. Whenever we didn't see Fafa a lot, it felt like. So I even mentioned to Colby, it felt like maybe Tab told Fafa, like, hey, hang back and help out Sam.
Right. And I even mentioned on here, you know what, we'll get there.
Yeah, because every...
It's number 10.
Yeah,
we'll every wait for it. Every press that we had, it was just a Rudy. Like, yeah. There's no one else in the box. And then you look back and Fafa's like at midfield. And like, what, like, what's going on? Like,
again, that's that formation breakdown.
Yeah, it happens. We run sometimes, and there's times where we run around and it just looks like we are lost in the sauce, and we get out of shape and we don't know what to do. And thankfully, they had a couple of good chances early on that didn't convert. But we had a couple we didn't convert either. Poor Memo with his left foot. It's really not that bad. He just kicks it right at him.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, have you been led astray? Did you diddle where maybe you shouldn't have dabbled? Have you been unfaithful to your husband, wife, partner, main squeeze? Well, there's a judgment-free podcast just for you. Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity, hosted by Rebecca Adams, tells the stories of these women from their perspective, anonymously and without judgment.
I met the first man I had an emotional affair with online. He was far away, but he provided me with all of the emotional validation that my marriage was lacking. The first time we talked, he showed an interest in me as a person. It was refreshing.
If you need to come clean, get it off your chest, confess your sins with no Hail Marys required, then Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity is the podcast for you. And remember, it's completely anonymous and judgment-free.
Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe today.
So earlier in the year, beginning of the year, I was pretty high on Zarek Valentin, mostly because he's handsome and looks like Jack Sparrow. But after last night and the night before and throughout the last couple games, I'm consistently noticing he's just tailing off, and he is not able to get back and keep up with faster players. He was beat almost every single time.
It looked like he got tired really early.
Oh, he got, and at the end, he wasn't even trying.
No.
He was beat consistently down the flank. So what are your thoughts on seeing Jose Bezama there? Like, I know Jose has his doubters and his haters because when he went out there, he was garbage. But we know that without minutes and without a time to build form, you look at how Quintero looked earlier in the year too. What are our thoughts on Bezama? And what's the answer if Zarek continues this downward spiral?
Well, the answer, I have no idea, because that just makes me so nervous as a fan to watch games. We're not going to have two wingbacks or whatever they're playing, left back, right back. It's terrifying.
Well, with the back four, they typically, most coaches, you know, me being a Tottenham fan, I've had the pleasure of watching shitty wingback play now for a couple of years, or fullback play. Most coaches, when you're four, most guys with four at the back, they'll only send one, and they'll leave the other side back. And then they'll have a midfielder who stays to help out. But we didn't send either. We sent Sam, right? And then sometimes Zarek pushed forward. But, man, he cannot recover at all.
Well, it doesn't even feel like – what would we run, a 4-3-3, something like that?
Last night? So the Dynamo's official – the look from the official Dynamo, that was a 4-4-2. You could say, oh, it was a 4-2-2-2. It was fucking – it looked like a 4-3-3 with Dorsey on the right, Fafa on the left, Maxi up top. Just looked like a modified 4-3-3.
Yeah, it's a little more wide of a 4-3-3 because of the placement of the players. But I mean, again, like we were saying, they didn't follow to that at all.
Yeah, and I don't know who does those formations again. When you Google Houston Dynamo and look at the lineups, they're so wrong. I saw 4-1-4-1 listed at one point.
Yeah,
and then I saw
nobody knows what they're trying to do.
They had Hadebi at left wing in his debut. I looked at it and I was like, what is Tab doing?
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Screwed up.
So do you guys think that right back is now our weakest position after what we've seen last night and before?
After last night, I think so, yeah, because, I mean, as much as we like Sam around here, he had a good game.
And Dorsey was picked. He was pegged to come in as a right back, according to the reports.
Oh,
and last night,
really?
Oh, he was. Yes. He started as a wing, and then he'd move back to right mid. And then the idea, according to the internet, was to play him in that hybrid role.
I don't know. I don't know if he's... He didn't know. I've only seen the one game from him. I didn't watch too much of his highlights or anything. But
all right, Brian says good. Brian says it was a 4-2-3-1. Corona and Vera were playing deeper with Memo pushed up high. All right, I believe Brian. Fucking Google's wrong. Google's been wrong all the time, man.
Oh yeah.
And then we got, who was the other message from? Fuck, where'd it go? Just trying to navigate Discord.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
How do I get to my messages, ma'am? It's ridiculous.
I think it's that little home thing.
Sig said we need 32 points to get into the playoffs. That's what it took last year. Last year was a shortened season. We didn't play 33 matches. I think Sig's talking about earlier. We're talking about the road wins and the points. Sorry, guys. I'm slow on my Discord checkup. Still thinking about pissing off the transgender universe.
Are they posting in the actual chat, or is it
direct they messages? They are. I think they're direct messaging me.
Okay. I thought I couldn't see it or something.
Yeah. They are. Brian's muted. Fluttershy's on here. So, last night on Twitter, I said, how's Dorsey look? And someone said, meh. Literally, meh. And I thought last night, watching him, this was only his third ever MLS appearance. I was pleased with what I saw. That little cross to Maxi, that Maxi got a little funky touch on it and didn't score. I mean, we've got to remember this guy was a sixth overall pick in 2019. He's played for the U.S. men teams under 20s. So he was and he is highly rated, I guess you could say, even though Toronto cut him. And when Toronto cuts you, considering the problems they've had this year, most people would look at the player and wonder what the fuck. But at the same time, when you look at him and see what's going on in Toronto, it's apparent they don't know what the hell they're doing, especially when they get beat 7-1 and then fire their coach the next day, which was the right move. But Dorsey's 6'2". He's a big boy. I thought speed-wise, he outran their left back once. He was neck and neck with them. And the creative ability, I think, is there. Do you guys think that this is another good find, that this is a, dare I say, Matt Jordan gem? And that he could potentially be like Tyler Pascher or Derek Jones, somebody of that capability.
It might be just a little too early to tell, just because I don't know. He performed well, but also I don't know if I would have started him. He must have confidence. Tab must have confidence in him. So I mean,
I would say from what I saw last night, offensively. He was meh. But defensively, kind of like what Caleb was saying, it's like every time they went to his side, they switched fields. Like they didn't even try to like get it past him.
Yeah.
Every time they get down that wing, he wasn't involved in the play.
Yeah.
And I did notice a couple times he was back there and they would pin and trap with Zarek, because he was on Zarek's side, unless they switched at some point. But I remember specifically seeing him on Zarek Valentin's side, and after Zarek got beat, the Griffin was there.
And honestly, from that performance last night, I wouldn't mind to see him at right back.
No, that's what I was thinking, and that's what they said they signed him to do. Right? They said they signed him to play defense in that hybrid wingback role, because college wise, he led. I can't remember where he went, California somewhere. But he led his team in goals and maybe assists as well.
Switch him with Sam.
Well, he was a winger. He was a winger in college, and then he dropped into the midfield with Toronto FC and FC2. And then supposedly, like I said, according to the Dynamo Media, which there's not a lot, Indiana, thank you, Brian, he went to IU, Hoosiers. They lost the national championship game when he was a freshman. The second year they didn't get to it. They got close. But he was an All-American in 2 years, and I think he was an academic All-American. Brian also said you need 45 points to win as a 7th seed. That sounds more realistic. Brian with the stats. Brian's smart. So, wingback.
I think he would do a lot better at a back position.
I do too. I think he's... But what do we know, you know? I know right now we're missing players, and once the Pascher comes back, Dorsey's not going to start over Pascher. So maybe he's just getting him feel out games to, you know, see how he looks on defense tracking back. And then at some point, Because Eric's 30. Valentin's 29 or 30. I think he just turned 29. So he's getting close. He's getting close to that age where they start to really have that decline when that testosterone leaves.
I think it feels good to see Tab. I know it's weird to see him start that him so early. I felt like that was a pretty important game.
Yeah.
But we saw new players on the field, and then we also saw probably the most subs in a while. So, I mean, that was enjoyable.
The earliest sub, definitely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Brian says he wants to see – Brian wants to see Griffin with Pasher, overlap with Pasher on the cut inside. I could see that.
That'd be interesting.
Are we sure Griffin's right-footed?
I don't know.
Are we sure he's right-footed? Part of me thinks he's left-footed. I might be confusing him with a Debbie. Brian, I'll look it up. Brian's my analyst. Unpaid, amazing analyst. So last night, Memo's pass into Dorsey's legs. Did y'all see this? Memo gets the ball.
That a pass?
You have to, I guess. Because if it was a shot, it was off.
If that was a pass, that was the hardest pass I've ever seen someone make in the box.
Yeah, Griffin's right.
Well, Quintero made a few of those earlier in the year, a couple laser beams.
Yeah, again, I don't know if I'd consider that one a pass.
I thought that particular moment was our best chance for a goal, and Memo definitely ruined it. He ruined it.
Screwed up.
How are we feeling about Memo, boys?
Aside from like that, I was still pleased. That was the only downside.
Yeah, I don't understand what the anxiety is when it comes to Memo. I know he's not a creative winger, but he's not a winger. He's never been a winger. He's a midfielder. So he's played out of position, and you get mad at him. I mean, would you get mad at Marko Marić if he played striker and wasn't just, you know, smacking him home? A lot of people are done with Memo. I'm not. I think he's been average. I think he started hot like he did last year, and he's just been average.
I put Memo in the same category as and then in terms of the work that they put in, because you could see that they definitely have more they put more energy into what they do. I feel like Memo is lacking in the finishing, but like you said, he's a midfielder.
Yeah, Brian says Memo had four. He blew four really good chances last night. I must have missed the other three. He had two shots, left-footed shots that were weak, but they weren't terrible. I've seen worse.
I mean, that one specifically was hard to watch just because he had it on his dominant foot, and he had the defender shadowing left. Like, he had the right side of the goal to shoot at, and it just went complete opposite goal side.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I thought that was our best chance. I thought of all of our attempts, goals, shots, I thought that was our only real, clear-cut chance. Or we had a look on goal, and we could have just fired home.
Target, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't do it. Now, earlier you brought up how Fafa was brought back to help on defense. And I wrote, I noticed Fafa wasn't as far down the pitch throughout the match. And this chance with Memo was created by him staying forward and us playing a through ball to him to go get. So if you look at what you noticed, bringing Pico back to help Sam, who I still don't like. I like him slightly more. But this one chance was created by Fafa, and Fafa's also gotten a lot of shit from people about how he does run fast and loses the ball or falls down. I mean, that's the truth. But there have been times where he creates these chances, and I'm really hoping that we figure out a way to keep him forward, because he is by far the fastest player on the pitch for us. Yeah.
That's the thing is, when we put him back, we're losing a huge weapon.
Well, we drop 10 back quite often. 10 or 11, or there's 10 or 11 behind the ball quite often if you watch, especially once we're done. Usually from minute 20 to 40, 20 to 45, we drop everybody back behind the ball. Mm-hmm. We come out and we press for those opening 15 minutes. Last night it was about 20. And then last night, same thing. We sunk off, and then we have no creators up front. There were so many times where you'd have Griffin and Maxey, or just Maxey, and there's nobody else up there, which is really hard to watch. And it's
there was even one where I'd say we had a counterattack starting in the midfield. Parker got some kind of layoff from somebody, and he took it all the way up to the 18, and then didn't do anything with it.
I remember that.
There was no one there to help him.
Because the announcer said, Parker's all the way forward, or Parker's out of position. And I'm thinking, man,
all the way up.
Like, man, don't fucking tell him. Don't tell them that. Because other than that, we got Teenage, who hurt his shoulder last night. I don't know how bad that's going to be. That's not – shoulders can take a long time.
Yeah.
They're like hamstrings, and they're pretty important.
He looked like it was actually hurting him too, so.
Yeah, and I'd imagine he's pretty tough. I've looked at his stuff, and he doesn't miss a lot.
Yeah.
He's still relatively young.
He got back in two times, three times, whenever Tav had a sub ready for him.
Yeah, he was doing the Honduras thing. Except the Hondurans get stretchered off and they come back in.
Yeah.
So the own goal by Zarek, if you look on the cross, Junka missed it. Fafa missed it. Marco totally could have come off his line. Zarek could have chested it down or let it run through. I think if he lets it run through, was that Espinoza?
Whoever was behind, yeah.
I think he probably scores. But I was extremely pissed off because what Zarek did, that was 100% going to be a goal.
Yeah, there's no deflection that would have taken it out of the path of the goal.
No, he was too close. There was too much pace on it. Go ahead, Colby.
I was just saying, once it got to the back of the goal, I was like, I don't see that not going in.
Yeah, I mean, he could have just bundled it in. But what Zarek did, what upset me most is there were other options. Chest it down. Put a head on it. Let it go through.
From Zarek, I don't know. I don't know if Zarek had the opportunity to do that. It looked like whenever he was outstretched, would it hit him in the calf or something like that?
No, I'm pretty sure he kicked it pretty dead on.
Yeah, because Zarek was a little behind. And so, like, his...
I don't know. I thought I remember seeing it just hit him in the
his
leg.
His movement forward, like, I don't... He could have probably batted it down, but it would have been very hard to do so.
And then besides all that, my biggest issue with that whole play is Marco on that one. Because I felt like that one could have been picked out earlier than, you know, what did he do? Did he come off the line?
No.
I don't think
he didn't.
Did,
no, Marco watched it, I think.
Yeah, I think that one could have been either a punch out or, you know, something that but he didn't move.
Yeah, it was tough.
I think he expected the Parker or someone to get a hit on it.
Yeah.
Well, everybody missed. Junka missed. Fafa missed. Fafa's only, what, 5'7"? Where's Hadebe and Jones on that one? You know, clear it out with their big old domes. Even though Jones is terrible at reading balls in the air. He's absolutely horrible at it. Hadebe's good. Hadebe can read a ball in the air. He gets his head on fucking everything. That and his ability to play the ball, his passing ability is
just on-field IQ is very, very good.
Yeah, his passing ability is the best on our entire back line, I think. And we've only seen him over two games. Man, I like him. I hope his shoulder's all right. But, yeah, I just wrote Zarek was god-awful last night. He steadily declined at the right back in every aspect of play. He hasn't had a break. He's missed one match from Bizama. Bizama came in. I think he started one match. That match we got smoked in. Was it 3-0 in Colorado? Is that the one?
Sounds right.
So I think he just needs to get some yellow cards and get a break like Fafa's going to be doing on Saturday, which he is suspended now. That weak-ass yellow card that he got, which he gets that yellow card for the hand, but what he did to the keeper, I was worried that was going to be number two.
Yeah, to come up behind him like that.
They gave it to Parker.
Yeah.
Parker got it for jumping, and Parker was outside the box. When Parker jumped in front of the keeper, Parker was outside the box.
I didn't see that. I thought they were all in still.
No, I'm pretty sure Timmy was outside the box. But what Fafa did... Yeah, I thought Fafa was going to get a second one and be out.
Yeah,
but now,
yeah, that's what I was worried about.
But now Pascher is not going to be there. Lassiter will be back, and he will have 5 days to get ready. And maybe we'll see Bazama, who looked awful. Did anybody think he looked good in his 6 minutes?
Honestly, I don't even remember him coming on the field. So
he came in at the 90th for who did he come in for? Did he come in for Fafa? Memo? He came in.
Might have been.
Oh no, I thought they were gonna pull Hadebe out and put in Fumayor. They left Hadebe in and they pulled out a midfielder or a forward and they put in Bazama.
Right?
Yeah, he came in. And he immediately fouled an opposing player just outside the 18-yard box. What was I? God damn it.
Yeah.
Too much beer.
Yeah.
Too many beers.
Okay, I was confused there. Okay. Yeah,
Bahamich.
I mean, he didn't fuck up, so...
Well, okay, he didn't because they were offside. But that offside goal, that was a result of his running up the back of, I think it was Espinoza, who totally stopped and drew the foul. But I wasn't... And I was looking at Bahamich standing there, and he doesn't look like he does a lot of cardio. Granted, I'm not like a Greek sculpture or anything, but he looks like he's on the Carlos Vela diet. He looks a little soft around the outside. But he's young.
I think we need to see more actual game time from him to.
Well, this was the time for it with these five guys out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was it.
6 minutes on the field. I mean, there's not a huge impact he could have done, but you know what he didn't do was noticeable. I guess
I'm still convinced he did something with Tab's open relationship girlfriend, as Brian stated in the last episode. Yeah, he wasn't impressive. I was hoping to see Funmayor, and everybody was up in arms. They said if Funmayor comes on, we're going to lose. I mean, I don't think he's that bad. He was voted new player of the year, newcomer of the year when he got here back in 2018, 2019.
With the amount of cards we had on defenders, right? Didn't we have
Parker? Parker had one.
But, I don't know. I would have been happy with seeing him on.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been a 2-7.
Especially with the possible injury on our prospect player right now.
Yeah, that's not a good situation. And speaking of yellow cards, the last thing is our aggressive play up and down, I think, definitely going to lead to more yellow cards. But there are so many times where we get a yellow on plays where I don't think they warrant a yellow. Like Memo had a challenge on Chofis early in the second half, like on the 50th minute mark straight, stepped over him and cut him the fuck off. And I like that Memo does this. I love that Memo's got some shit in his neck. Memo doesn't get a yellow for that. That's a yellow card.
Yeah.
But then Fafa gets one for the hand back. Fafa's 5'7". You know, and he's trying to brush the guy off and he hits him in the face. And then Parker gets the one for jumping.
Yeah, no, those were... It felt bad, but I mean, that ref... I know that whole situation was pretty crazy with the other ref coming in, but regardless, we have this new ref come in. The handing out of yellows was very weird. The whole game, it felt like they were given in the wrong spot and not given in the right spot.
Well, at the end, when Maxi got a yellow and... Who was it that got the red? Fiero? Like the car? Fiero?
Yeah,
that was the right call. I want to know.
That should have been a red.
I want to know what Quintero said to him. What did Quintero say to him to make him get up and straight up want to fight him? Like, what did he say?
Yeah, one of those things we probably won't ever know, but.
Oh, I'd love to know because my mind was going.
Yeah.
Definitely something about his mom. I know the word madre was in there somewhere.
Oh, did he?
I have no idea. And probably Chinga. Chinga was probably in there too. Yeah, well, man.
Looks like we need to get Darwin on the podcast.
Whatever Darwin said. I don't know. He's too busy playing the last 35 minutes. I don't have any desire to interview players because, to be honest, I couldn't talk the way I talk. I'd have to be professional.
Yeah, to get him to not blacklist you.
Oh, well, I think after today's events, it's already happening. It's all good.
Put it in motion.
That's okay. Brian says, how did the Brazilian go 75 before he gets a yellow? Brian, I don't know how these refs work, man. There's been plenty of times where we get yellows on shit we don't deserve them, and then we don't get yellows when we obviously do deserve them. And it always feels like on the road it's worse. On the road, I feel like we definitely don't get as good a calls, and the refs are supposed to be impartial. You know?
Yeah. And then, I know we're talking about our team, but Nathan on the other team, that was pretty insane to me, that the amount of fouls and the times he stepped on players, the uncalled things.
That's who Brian's talking about.
Okay.
Nathan's right back, the 26-year-old Brazilian, the new player, who said in an interview, the last three games, we've really been doing well, and he's been starting all three, so I mentioned that he was real fucking humble. Yeah, anyway, do y'all got anything you want to add? Thoughts, suggestions, how do we feel about Salt Lake coming in? Because I'm not excited at all.
Me neither.
Not looking forward to it. I think we see you back.
Salt Lake's looking real good.
They are. Didn't they just win 3-0?
Yep.
Colorado.
And Colorado whipped us up when we went up there. Like, for sure. So
it'll be a rough one. You're going to that one?
Yeah, I'll be there. It's my son's birthday. So I'm bringing him and his friend. I'm bringing him and my girlfriend's son. And I've never taken him anywhere before. My girlfriend's son. So this is going to be interesting.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun.
So I will say the lineup that we started with, it was aight.
I liked it.
It's a lot better than Tuesday.
Well, yeah, what we saw on Tuesday was garbage. Yeah. That was that said, hey guys, we don't really want to win.
Yeah, we just had too many mistakes.
I've never played a. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's partially because we had people in spots that was their first time playing those spots.
Yeah, and.
Yeah,
you had Fafa up top. I mean, every time I play a five at the back in FIFA, I get smoked. I can't even create anything offensively. And I'm awful to begin with. I have to run a 4-2-4 to keep it interesting.
And yet again, Rudy's going 100% all game long, and he's not getting a break.
No.
And he's not getting any help in the box when we make a counterattack.
No, he is not. And there's too much of that. A lot of that was from Fafa sitting back last night.
I think that's a huge problem with our attack, just not having... We have counterattacks, but we have, like, two guys counterattacking. Is that a midfield problem?
I think...
Like, where are we lacking that we're not seeing at least...
So what...
I feel like three is solid.
We're seeing that. We're seeing that after we're done pressing. When we press early on, and we press high, we have...
Yeah.
Four guys in there. But once we start sitting back, yeah, our midfielders don't have the pace to keep up with Maxi, Fafa, and Tyler. Who on our team can keep up with those three? After those three, who can keep up? Quintero, a little.
Yeah.
But when you're playing them in a flat, you know, midfield like we do, or two, you know, because the third, the center mid is a true center mid. It's not a CAM.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a number 10. He's, what is that, a 6 or an 8? One of those numbers?
Yeah.
6. Yeah, so he's not a 10. So we're asking him to play defense and go box to box, and the pace on Memo, on Corona. I thought Corona looked okay last night. Really did.
Yeah.
The pace on them is, they can't keep up.
He did his little thing, though, where he was in and out for parts of the game. But when he was in, it was good.
And Maxi is not a hold-up striker. Fafa is not going to hold up anything. Fafa's going to go. Same with Pasher. You know, we don't have a real hold-up player up top. Maxi is the closest thing we had to hold a player was Christian Ramirez, and he's now scoring goals in Scotland. He's gone. Well, boys, I'm going to venture off and talk to the Twitterverse, and it's gotten quiet now. It's gotten quiet. You know what I don't understand about this whole transgender thing is I didn't say anything about transgender people. I never would. I would never insult anybody because of who they are. Yet, the fact that I don't want to be surprised by a woman that's actually a man lying to me and trying to convince me that she's a woman, that gets me called a bigot. You guys are younger. What are your thoughts on this?
Younger, but we also both live in
Grange,
conservative Texas. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm pretty much on that same page.
You literally can't say anything without pissing somebody off. And you know what? Truthfully, I could fucking care less. I know how I am, and I know how I treat people. And if you think it's okay to have a penis and try to fool me into the fact that you're a woman, that's not cool. It's actually never happened either. Although it kind of happened at a burlesque show in Vegas. I thought the host was a female, and I thought she was hot. And then at the end, she revealed that she was not. And the woman I was with was like, wow, your gaydar does not work at all. This shit is eternally broken.
It's kind of like the same thing that we were talking about the other day, Caleb, with the thing over the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
There's a guy from Caldwell.
I know where that is.
I think, yeah, he lives in like Austin now, but he came back to his hometown, and there was somebody that put like a flag over a little bridge that said like it was like white power, not like white power. It was like whites unite or something, like I don't know, something like that. And yeah, we were talking about that. How?
And he captioned it like, "Why I don't come back to my hometown."
Yeah.
Dude, I live in a fucking town where, I think I told y'all before, you have heard it, the streets in downtown are still named after Confederate generals. I live in one of the most conservative towns in fucking Houston. It's ridiculous.
Oh, dude, we have a supposed
Fuck.
We have a supposed hanging tree in our square.
I don't know if that's supposed.
It's probably true, man. I used to live in South Carolina, and they would make... they put like markers up to mark the old hanging trees on the plantations, because you can still go to plantations in certain southern states. And I was like, what? Like, who the fuck sees this and thinks this is okay?
That's where, yeah.
Like this, it's murder. That's what it is. We have a legal system. Fucking, you don't just get to kill people.
The tree we have is like on the corner between two banks, and like nobody.
Catty corner from the courthouse.
Yeah, nobody's ever gonna.
Well, if it's across from the courthouse, maybe it was like, hey, let's get him into the judge, and then we'll get this over with quick. But like to do it, I think it's a pretty awful way to die. Number one, unless you do it where they drop down and it breaks your neck,
yeah, that wouldn't the context.
Yeah, but like it's a pretty awful way to go. There's worse ways, but that's. I don't know. Seems to be pretty popular.
I remember they tried to cover it up one time by I think our like English teachers told stories of this is where the Confederate Army
met.
Gathered before going into battle.
Yeah.
But not telling what they did before that.
Man, I'm all for teaching history the right way. And apparently that's, what are they calling it now? Critical race theory. But the Democratic Party has a weird way of picking the worst fucking possible names for everything. Like defund the police. Like that doesn't sound like a good idea. You should have called it restructure funds for mental health. That's what you should have recalled it. That's what you should have called it. Anyway, boys, I will get up with everybody after Real Salt Lake. Fucking fingers crossed. I'm about to go on Twitter and post it. I love everybody.
I'm going to watch the USA game.
Oh, they winning?
They just started.
Okay, cool.
Well, all right, man. Kobe, Caleb, y'all take care.
All righty.
Everybody in the chat room, peace out. Talk to you later. Bye, guys.
Albert Elise is going to get there. There's no question. He squares it. There it is. It's another. And it's Bubba Rodriguez again, scoring goals left and right. Elise with the assist.